Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
Devin, tell me about the item in your lap. By the way, this is not a sponsored post. This isn't
a sponsored post, and I haven't even tried this product yet, but the story goes like this. I was on Snapchat. So I used to use Snapchat all the time. It was a big snaphead, as they say. But now I don't use it because it's gone out of trend for people our age. For Gen Z, from what I understand, it's still a thing. But I still use Snapchat exclusively to interact with my two best friends from college, Anis and Tori, who I also have a group text with, but for some reason we also have a Snapchat chat where we send pictures. And then my friend Anto, who sends me impressions on Snapchat. And so Tori sends us a selfie, and my friend Anis chats, "Is that a blanket or a hoodie that you're wearing? Or what is that that you're wearing?" And Tori says, "It's both."
Okay.
Meaning both a blanket and a hoodie. So obviously my interest is peaked. My interest is honestly blazing at this point. I love to be cozy so fucking much. I love to have a blanket.
I will live under a blanket forever in some capacity.
I can't watch TV without a blanket.
No.
And it's really progressed in quarantine. Like in the beginning of quarantine, I was like, oh, I guess I'll start like working from the couch. Like, that's kind of weird, but I'm working from the couch, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm a couch potato. I'm working from the couch. Now, a year later, I have a full bedspread on the couch that I work from. And I have like 8 pillows.
Bed sores.
Some are couch pillows. Some are bed pillows that I've taken to the couch. And so I invested in this. And this is the comfy. So it's basically a giant, it's basically like a blanket with sleeves and a hood.
It's also cheetah print.
It's cheetah print, and it's got a little pocket where you can put stuff.
This is
so
all
basically,
yeah.
This is my work uniform, I think, for the next who knows how long. And by the way, no, I don't have a normal, like a job, as people say, refer to it. So work uniform is a generous term, but this is what I'll wear to my computer every day.
It looks like something that people dress up their sleepy babies in.
That's what I want. I want to be cocooned like a baby. But also there was a phase when I went to work when I was really depressed many years ago. And I was like I was trying new antidepressants. And I literally wore, like, thinking back, it's insane the extent to which the clothes I wore to work were pajamas. Like, I cannot believe that I attended work in actual pajamas and like would just brush my teeth and not brush my hair and go to work. It was shocking.
I remember once going to work. I'd been up late the night before. And I just think it's so funny that like men don't know how to men will tell you you look bad in such a specific way without even thinking like, oh, she looks like shit. Like, I remember going to work once and looking at me being like, oh, are you sick? And I was like, what?
No.
Like, are you okay? You look sick. And I hadn't worn makeup that day. And I was like, noted.
Are you sick is so offensive. I thought you were going to say, are you tired? Because that's the usual thing. Like, oh my God, you look tired. And it's like, okay, literally go fuck yourself.
There's,
you know who looks tired? Jared Leto. And he's a red carpet celebrity. How is that fair?
I can't believe there are still men saying, are you tired? It's so crazy. Or you look really tired. I remember this one guy who like completely fucked up my mom's car and was just like a terrible human being to me in general. Whenever I told people everything he did, I would also add that once we were at a party together and when I was leaving, he said, Carolina, you look really tired. And
no.
Out of all the things, like literally like destroying my mom's car, like owing me money, blah, blah, blah. When I got to that part of the story, people would be like, oh, I hate him. And I was like, yeah, it's just a marker of a bad person.
It's so bad.
Just
don't ever comment on anything. Like, it literally, if a woman has something on her face, just leave it for another woman to tell her, because a male telling you that is like so scary and abrasive. I don't know why. It's like, Just don't tell me that. I would rather have like a giant piece of cake stuck to my cheek and have Carolina tell me than a man.
I'd be like, Devin, there's a piece of cake growing out of your cheek.
How are you doing, Carol?
Our friend Hannah told me something that changed my life forever, which was never comment on the way a woman looks. Listen, yeah. I still tell my friends when they look amazing, but as someone who recovered from an eating disorder, I understand the delicacy of telling a girl she looks good if she lost weight, because that's sometimes a very bad thing. Telling a girl she looks good when you're sick, someone telling you you look good can distort your perception entirely. Someone telling you that you're worried about you can seem like a compliment and feed your disorder. This sounds really dark, but basically it just got me to thinking like how much dialogue, period, not even good, bad, or negative or toxic, whatever, just how much dialogue goes around what women look like in general. And I feel like some things, sometimes I've rejected wanting to look anyway, and I've just put my hair up and not put makeup on because I just like hate the dialogue. I hate trying. I just hate it. I just hate it. I hate thinking about how I look all the time. And I think the most masculine part of me, or the part of me that likes to relax into masculinity sometimes, is the part that just doesn't care. Like, I don't want to think about how I fucking look right now. I just want to get on with my day.
I know.
That, on the flip side of that, I've had about a year of that. And I'm really...
One year?
Almost coming up on 1 year. And another thing is that I'm getting really excited about potentially getting a vaccine in the nearish future, in 2021. Mm-hmm. Hopefully getting a vaccine. If you're listening to this, hopefully you'll be getting a vaccine too. It's very exciting, this medical breakthrough. I want to be excited about that. And I haven't let myself get excited about socializing or dating in the future because I just never saw it being like healthy. And now I'm actually getting excited about like the thought of putting tights on, putting lipstick on, putting eye makeup on, putting contacts in. I haven't put contacts in a year because who cares? I'll just wear glasses. Doing my hair and going out to a party that might not be that fun, but getting ready is the fun part because it's full of hope and what ifs and who will I meet? And I guess this is the first time where I've gotten kind of excited about dating, period. And I'm saying that for people who don't feel that way right now. I never thought I would feel that way again.
Hold on to that excitement as long as you can, because you know that they will try to stamp it out. The hipster men of Los Angeles will try to stamp that out of you as much as they can. Okay, so I have a couple things to say about this. One, we need this because I don't have the option to date right now since I'm currently in a relationship or whatever. So
exactly.
But I'm saying we need your date stories because I remember when I was dating, just always thinking like I couldn't wait to get to work the next day to like tell my friends the weird date story that I had, or like, I don't know. It's just like such a fun thing to talk about, even though most of the time when I was telling the stories, it ended with me like crying and being like, man, I'm never going to meet anyone. And it's like, I'm just fucking sick of it. But I know. Now I look back and I'm like, that was so fun.
You're like these hysterical date stories. I mean, like, I'm not remembering them like that. But
I didn't at the time. I didn't see what was funny. Now I do. Okay. So that's my first point. And my second point is, do tights hurt your stomach? Because they always hurt my stomach.
Tights have fucked me up so much. First of all, I'm a big Spanx girl. I'm very impressed by the creator of Spanx. She did something that we just didn't have the foresight to think, oh, that feeling that I like where like my stomach feels flat because forces of gravity and spandex are forcing it, my organs back up into my chest.
No, that hurts.
Is a business idea. And
but it hurts.
Yeah, it feels like shit. It also messes up with your digestion. But I'm also, I'm what we call an extra tire weight carrier, meaning that where I gain weight and lose weight is in the spare tire around my midsection, which I'm totally fine with. Love my stomach, love my belly. But Spanx helped me in terms of like contouring a dress. Like the Kardashians contour the face, that's what Spanx have done for me, given me a whole new body and face transplant. I at times used to wear two sets of Spanx, one on top of the other, and that'll really make your gastrointestinal issues flare up for like a week.
Yeah, I literally have worn tights and been like, am I sick? Like, I feel like someone asked you because you looked tired, like, am I sick?
I have literally left a wedding to go back to my room, taken off tights, and come back to the wedding to like relax. And the feeling of letting your stomach out, and your stomach does something. I think it's because you have like more gas, because basically, and I just recently read about this while I was wearing tight jeans and wondering why you get bloated after wearing tight jeans. So you're, you can't like digest stuff if your pants are really tight. You can't digest it properly. You can't like basically, let's think about it this way. Air goes down. You're supposed to release it through your butthole. But since it can't go down past your belly button because of these tight Spanx or pants, it just goes and goes up. So your stomach blows up with air. And that's true romance. That's, you know, what I wanted to get on this pod and talk about. And until I do have date stories, I have more stories about gastrointestinal issues.
Bloating. But wait, so how are you feeling about like readiness to date?
I am feeling ready, ready, ready. I feel, and I'm feeling like ready to like go through like a slut phase again. Like, you know, those couple of phases you go through and like some of them are negative. Like everyone's had growing pains in that area, but some of them are really positive. When you've like, you know, the summer before college, I was like hooking up with random guys. I was having so much fun. I think the slut phase is fun when you have no interest in dating, like having a serious relationship.
Yeah.
And you're like, your aim is to go out and have fun. It's not to meet someone. And it's a blurry line. Like those, you can kind of think that you're going to go out for fun and then you end up realizing afterwards that you really want to meet someone. Mm-hmm. Or you could be dating someone realizing that you just made an accidental detour on what should have just been a slut phase. I think about men so much when I'm in a relationship. I think about my partner so much. And I think I want the fun of dating without the headspace aspect to it.
Some of the top three best things about like being newly single after a long-term relationship is, one, as I've said before, not having to confer with someone about dinner and just ordering whatever the fuck you want for dinner, eating whatever the fuck you want, and not having to be like, so what do you think we should, do you think we should order in? Do you think we should cook? What do you feel like? What do you feel like? What do you feel like? I don't know. What about you? Up to you. You decide. You don't have to do that. Two, you don't have to confer with anyone on plans, such as when I moved to LA for a job, I wasn't like, okay, but I have to talk to like this so-and-so about this. My literal only like concern about that was that I was like, wait, I have like crushes. I remember saying to someone like, I have crushes in New York and like, I don't know if I'll have crushes in LA. And like, I really want to pursue these crushes in New York, but I'm not going to give up a job opportunity for crushes.
Right.
right. Like, what do you think? And my therapist was like, I think you need help and I can't even give it to you. No. And then three is like leaving or staying is totally up to you. So like, when you go out, like I remember being like, oh yeah, like I can like stay out as late as I want or go home as late as I want. I don't have to like tell someone when I'm going to get home.
You're not sharing your time with anyone.
Yeah.
Some of my best hookups have been with guys that I knew that I would never like as a boyfriend or anything. But we'd have so much fun because there was no pressure on it. And there was also no pressure on, how do I say this? Like our interests aligning at all. So I wasn't, when he was talking, I wasn't trying to be like, oh my God, totally. Like I do this. I was just like, I am a tourist in your life and you in mine, my friend. Like we do not need to be aligned in any way except sexually. And I
saw his picture at the Capitol recently.
Oh God. So I don't know if I'll keep this in the pod. No, it's this guy who I met in high school. He was like 90 pounds to my like 150 when we met. Like he was just like this skinny little like punk kid. And I knew him for years. We see each other party. I think we like kissed a couple of times. And then one night we hooked up and it was incredible. Like it was unbelievable. And to the point where both of us were like, wow, that was awesome. And we just stayed in touch because it was like, and he was this kid who, we called him Metal because he was a raver. By the way, if I was at a rave, I would walk in, scream, and walk out. There is no way I belong in that crowd whatsoever. But he was this really nice kid. Next time I see him, he's like bulky, and he's like covered in tattoos. He used to have a few. Now he's like covered. He's like a chest piece and stuff. He looks amazing. He looks so hot that I'm like breathless. Like, wait, who are you? And so every time we see each other, it becomes the longest relationship I'd ever had. We saw each other on and off for 3 years. We knew we were never going to date, but we just had so much fun together. And every time I saw him, he got progressively like musclier. Like, he was to the point where this like old like raver, 90 pound like druggy kid slowly became a professional bodybuilder.
No.
And it went from like tattoos on like arms, chest, hands to like neck, head, face.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not see him like through the end there, but you could call what we did dating, I guess. But my point is, like, all of that was really fun. It was like good memories. We didn't have any bad times because we weren't committed at all. And I was never like, you guys, I'm worried. Like, he right. wants to get another tattoo this time on the, like, I was just like, you, I.
No overanalyzing.
Nothing. My time is my time. And when you're with someone like that, you can make boundaries that are really clear, meaning like, I'm not going to pick up. He's calling right now, but I don't want to hang out tonight. And vice versa. So This is all to say that, like, I guess I thought as I was getting older, I'm going to be in my 30s. I'm actively in my 30s as a 30-year-old. I felt like those days were over. But if Sex and the City has taught me anything, I don't think it has, but it's shown me that you can have these like phases and that I'm not like supposed to be married or supposed to be like a mother with children or anything, that like I can still have fun dating, which it's empowering. And also, you know, as someone who's having an eating disorder, my old mental place used to be in like, okay, so now I have to get like really, really, really thin and like fit and all this stuff. And like, that's no longer my goal. Like, when I work out, I only work out like 30 minutes a day at the most, like a few times a week kind of. But it's more to like just feel in my body and not like disassociated from it.
Mm-hmm.
And because like it's, for anyone who's having self-esteem issues, like, yoga like literally improves, as you could probably attest to right now, Devin, your body image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's scientific studies that you feel sexier after you do yoga. So I'm more doing it to get back into my body rather than for some kind of like approval ratings. Because again, like, dating for myself rather than for some outward approval just gives me more license to. I also just came from doing a yoga class, so that's why I'm so pumped about this.
Okay, so since you brought up scientific studies that prove something makes you feel sexier, I'm actually working on a scientific study on whether the comfy makes you feel sexier. And I am going to find that out when I put it on later. But I feel like it will, because it's like, listen, maybe it covers up every inch of your body and it looks like a giant fleece sack. At the same time, that is exciting. It's like, what's under there? And also, I want to say that another thing that proves that you don't have to do anything by a certain time in life is that Teresa Giudice, Real Housewives of New Jersey, competed in a bodybuilding competition after having 4 kids and after having 1 husband go to prison, and then after going to prison herself and then having her husband deported. She went through so many life phases before she was a bodybuilder. And I think that's amazing. And also, watching True Life, I'm a Bodybuilder, when I was like 10 years old in Connecticut, was one of the first experiences I had where I was like, oh, the world is really weird. Like, the world is fucked up. Like, I have this town and I live in this town and I go to school, and that's pretty much what I know about the world besides The Sims and my dolls. And here I see that there's this whole world out there where people, grown men, shave their butts. And they spray tan themselves. And I was like, you know what? I don't know about this place that we call home, Earth, but we'll see.
On that note, I cannot wait for you to hear our True Romance guest today. She is one of the funniest comics out there, I truly believe. Please stay tuned.
Also, can I just say that my mom, when we were recording this interview with our guest, who truly I was like, could not even believe she said yes to be on our pod. But my mom said that she could hear, you could hear me laughing like all throughout the house. Okay.
So that is an indicator you're going to want to stay tuned.
Not a creature was stirring all through the house, not even a mouse. Well, actually, there was a creature stirring and it was me laughing at this interview. So I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Please. And peace be with you.
We'll be right back. I want true romance. And we're back with True Romance.
So, True Romance listeners, we have a very exciting guest today, and you're welcome ahead of time. Our guest is a comedian who you may know from the comedy lineup on Netflix, Black Monday on Showtime. Showtime, people! It's a big deal. Central Park on Apple TV+, which she also writes for, and Late Night with Seth Meyers. She has toured with Chris Rock and Amy Schumer, and she was named one of the 50 most funny people in Brooklyn, and her comedy album, Black and Mild, is available on all major streaming networks. Please welcome Janelle James.
Yay! When people read my bio, I'm like, oh, shit.
You light a cigarette?
That's me.
It's a really good bio.
I'm like, I know. And it needs to be updated because there's more shit on there, too. But that makes me feel good in quarantine. Wow. I did some stuff in the before times.
Yeah. Hits all the spots. Premium cable, streaming.
Right. I'm out here.
Spotify. Everywhere. And how are you doing, Janelle?
I'm inside.
Yeah. Inside status vibes. Inside. Yeah.
I moved recently just to have a new wall to look at. And so that's been cool. I'm wondering what I'm going to do after I finish decorating this place. I'm like trying to decorate it. I want it to be lived in, but also it's giving me a project. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to do
stuff to order online.
So I was like, what am I going to do when I'm done? Like, it's over. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to move. I'm going to move again, I guess. But I'm all right, as well as can be. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining. Janelle, I was creeping through your Instagram last night and you do this thing called hashtag short story time.
Oh,
where
you
do like little pieces of writing. And one of them, I swear to God, like lowered my blood pressure. And can I read it to you? Because it's so beautiful. So it's like a pre-pandemic poem. Like if you want to just relax and remember how good things used to be. Janelle writes, I pull my low-rise jeans lower and the sides of my thong higher. As my too old for me boyfriend pulls up over in his champagne colored Honda Accord, I look back at my friend like, that's right, bitch, as I slide into the car. Country grammar blares from the radio and he turns it down before handing me a backwood rolled blunt. What's up? He asks us to take a hit. And as the smoke slowly rolls from my lips, I say, Nick Cannon is beefing with Eminem. That's how good life used to be. That was news.
Now I remember that. I totally forgot that I wrote that, but I think that was like maybe 2 years ago. Nick Cannon was beefing with Eminem and it totally took me back to the 90s. Like I was just wow, this is like a blast from the past that they're beefing again in 2019. And so that's where that story came from.
Being in New York in 2011, and one of like my like hype up songs on the subway was listening to The Warning, which was Eminem's revenge song at Mariah Carey, which was so good that I was like,
oh man. I saw Eminem at Bonnaroo in 2018, I think. I was so hyped. Like, I went in like, whatever, this is going to be. And he came out and I almost lost my shit. So, yeah, it's... No shame.
Yeah.
He is so obsessed with her, though. Like, I love Eminem, but he is so obsessed with Mariah. Like, he has held on to this beef for so long.
He is.
Which I can't blame him for.
I mean, I'm obsessed with who isn't obsessed with Mariah?
I know.
And we all things three her. Little like, lambs. She is one of the few divas that's allowed to be a diva. Like, whatever crazy shit I hear about her, I'm like, whatever, that's Mariah.
It doesn't matter.
Like, she can sing like a dolphin. She can talk to dolphins.
Yeah. She can have a pet dolphin. I'm like, she's Mariah, of course. Like, and give a fuck.
I know. She's like an hour and a half. She's literally 90 minutes late to every concert, and all of her fans are like, okay, that's fine.
That's what she does. You know? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the kind of
power.
Power, exactly. And that's why he's obsessed.
Yeah.
You know? Had to dye his hair brown to go into hiding because she dumped him. Who doesn't want an ex talking about you 10 years later? Jesus Christ.
I know. I always imagine that they're still like saying she's the one that got away or something. And
well, he had a diss song. And actually, I just heard this recently. I mean, I don't know what time is. This might have been 3 years ago, but I'm saying everything is recently now. I have
it was like
no
2
idea.
Days ago.
It might have been. Who knows? But I went on YouTube and he does have like a really brutal diss song against her that I had never heard. And it's like, oh, you're really in your feelings. He's like giving out details and stuff. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
You were in love. Like, just say that.
He's Stan.
The fact that you even remember all this stuff and are still talking about it, like, this is not a good look. You're not hurting her. You look nuts. You know what I mean? So
you're not okay. Yeah.
Power, like we said.
Power. I have to say, Janelle, your podcast, You and Danger Girl, is an incredible discovery.
Thank you.
It's so amazing. You talk to a lot of listeners. We get listener questions too, but listeners, and you say it on the pod, want to tell you everything. I was like, I don't know what
that
it is. It really, people are writing in being like, okay, so.
Sometimes it's like a two-parter. You're like, okay, this is the first part. And I'm like, wait, there's
more? You thought
more?
I was done. Yeah. It's more.
And so it was, you do a lot on red flags in your pod. And I thought the red flags were going to be stuff like he's a picky eater or he's rude to waiters.
No.
But it was straight up like he's addicted to granny porn and works at nursing homes. Is that a red flag? And I was like, I mean, we're going to really expand
depends
the
who
definition.
You are and how desperate you are, I guess.
But also, you know, red flags are, it's not only right away. Some of these things you discover when you're already in it. You know what I mean? To give them some credit. It's not like people are opening up their conversation, you know, first day conversation like, hey, I'm in the granny porn. Like, these are, I feel like that letter in particular, she was kind of snooping and she found it. You
and
know?
Thank
so,
God. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God. Exactly. Got to explain that to your son and shit. Anyway. Years later, now you
to your
had
grandma.
A kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I was thinking also listening to your podcast, the past few years, I feel like maybe this is just me because I've only been in serious relationships for the past few years, but I feel like red flags are coming out in a new way since Trump became president, because every single day there was like a different type of racism, xenophobia, discrimination, like anything in the news. And so I feel like dating white men at that time, it was like you just heard so many opinions that
I mean, that's dating white men at any time. It's all opinions all the time. Jesus. I didn't ask you what you thought about anything, dude. But anyway.
I was just like, I was going on dates during like the Kavanaugh hearing, and it was like within 2 seconds finding out that someone is a rape apologist is fun. Anyway,
finding out someone was Kavanaugh.
Finding out that Brett was actually Brett Kavanaugh. No.
They take everything so personally because they know they've done fucked up shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, just so adamantly defending a stranger. You're just like, what is wrong with you?
Why are you so fucking passionate about it?
Exactly. So, hit dogs holler, as they say.
Yeah. No, one guy was like defending Brett Kavanaugh, and he was like, I have so many friends in college that like this could have happened to. Like, they could have been Brett Kavanaugh.
Right, that's the problem. Dude.
I was like, that's terrifying. Your friends have probably murdered people. And where are the bodies? Like, I don't have any friends like
one
that.
One day he'll have a daughter and he'll say, now that I have a daughter, I realize that I've raped. Or whatever the fuck they say.
Imagine. Anyway. That's the birth announcement. Yeah.
We're having a girl, and as a result, I realize that when
women are people.
What? Okay.
Just hit me.
Anyway, I didn't mean to take it there so quickly.
No, it's a thing, man. I mean, dating men at any time of any color is always a it's always a trip.
What are? It's fascinating, truly. And it's also like it's a turnoff to date men. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yes, I hate it. Them. Me and my friends talk about how we wish we were lesbians all the time. I know that's no cakewalk. I have lesbian friends who, you know, you got to deal with that shit too. But just to switch it up, I wish I could just, you know?
Yeah.
Just it's sort of like sometimes. New problems, maybe. I don't know. But because you get just tired of that shit.
Well, it's sort of like when you're stressed out about something, you're like, I don't want to go to my boyfriend. Like, I just need to talk to a girl about this. Yep. Like, the worst thing is to talk to a guy about this.
Yeah.
Even my friend, my best friend from college, Anais, always says men are stum, which is stupid plus dumb, like both stupid and dumb.
I'm guessing I'm stum on some things, too. It's just ingrained misogyny sometimes.
Oh, no, I mean, like, I don't know anything. This whole, like, GameStop.
Stock market
thing. It's like stock market scandal that's going on right now. I'm like,
knowing anything. That's not knowing about the stock market, which is how it was set up to be. It was set up to be people like us.
That's true.
It's just like not knowing how to do your taxes. It could be so simple, but they don't want us to know. So that's why it gets confused. And it's boring as fuck. I don't blame anybody for not wanting to know that shit. You know,
it's like when people tell you to listen, they're like, okay, so concentrate. And I'm like, you lost me already.
And then as soon as they start talking and then your bearer bonds, like, please kill yourself. Get out of my face.
I know. Really,
I'll just stay poor forever, I guess.
Yeah. What are some red flags that you both have chosen to look past at times?
Oh, I mean, I've talked about this on my podcast, like mean guys, mm-hmm. where you're just like, not necessarily mean to me, but just outwardly mean. Or I remember I dated this guy and he came visit me in New York. And one of the things I love about New York is, I mean, it's more corporatized now. But when I first moved there, it was the place where you could be yourself. Like people, you're from a small town and you're gay or a lesbian or you dress weird or you're a club kid or that. You move to New York, you do whatever you want. Nobody gives a fuck. And so he would come to visit me and we'd be walking around and he'd be talking about everyone's outfits. Like, what is he? Because he's from a place where everyone dresses the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
What is he wearing?
That's
what
so
is that? What is he? Yeah. And I was just like, dude, why do you care? Yeah. You know, so that was just like, that's a red flag because then once they stop doing the act, because if someone is mean to everyone else, it's coming for you eventually is what, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They're still being nice to you because they want to get with you and everything. But once it turns to you, then now they're overly critical of everything you do. And, you know, and so not only, that was not only a bad match, but just a bad look on his part that he cared so much first about outward appearance and just having to speak on it all the time. I'm like, who made you the mayor of what people are doing? Like, I am very much a live and let live. I love that people aren't, when they're nonconformist. And the fact that I'm like, what should everyone be wearing that would please you, guy who has the same shoes that everyone else has? You know what I mean?
I know.
What are you, what's the Project Runway guy or whatever? It was just like, he was fashionable, but I'm like, you're fashionable in the regular way. You have Jordans and a shirt and, you know what I mean? Like, shut up.
There's no creativity going into it or anything. Yeah.
Get out of here. So
that was so funny.
One. I mean, maybe, but that's the one I think of right now.
Yeah. We talk a lot about like the guy who's mean about his exes too, or the person who's mean about their exes. Like,
I haven't run into that in a while, but yeah.
Yeah. It's always like starts subtle and then you're like, wait, all of them can't be terrible. But
what I say now is I think they know now, but you know, because of podcasts or just listening, they know now not to do that. And I wish I always see women saying that, like, men, I mean, that's what the internet now is people telling everybody else what to do, but they're saying men, don't talk about your exes. It just shows that, and I'm like, stop telling them. Let them do that. How we else would you know?
We need to see these red flags.
What kind of person they are. Exactly. That. Yeah. And then the whole therapy scam now where everybody's saying they go to therapy. I'll need to see a receipt. Or they go to therapy and they think they're fixed. You know what I mean? And now they're above you because they went to therapy, but they're still a fucking asshole. I'm like, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, so
they have the language now, which is unfortunate.
Exact the language, but no fucking behavior.
I'm like, yes. You know what gaslighting means, but you're still doing
it. You're still doing it. So, if anything, yeah. You're better at it now because you're doing a workaround, some kind of therapy workaround.
You're learning
workaround.
How to do it good. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's funny because I used to, and I think this is just like my bar being raised too, but I used to like really put so much stock, because I know what that is. In like guys showing up, like I'd be like, show up for me, like show up to things for me, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's only now, like my new red flag is when someone like doesn't show up, like not emotionally, but like, for instance, when I'm meeting someone's parents, I'm like, hi, how are you? Question. Or when I'm meeting someone's friends, I'm like, oh my God, so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
If a guy doesn't do that to like my friends, my family, my situation.
Oh my God, that's happened to me.
Yeah.
I had someone and I told him beforehand, like, hey, this girl that you're meeting, we've been friends so long. Like,
exactly.
She works with me and we're doing a thing and I'm so excited. I haven't seen her in a while. And he got there and was totally silent like a serial killer. And I was like, what are you doing? And this is a guy who is like known for being charming, but he went into this like petulant, no one's paying attention to me silence.
Yes.
And he don't know, but that was the end of us. You know what I mean? It took me like 2 more months to cut it, but I was just like, and you know, and once I cut it, she, you know, she being my friend, she didn't say anything, but once I let him, she was like, that was weird. Like I had the same thought, like why was he acting like that? It was so weird.
No, it's so true. And it's so funny, Dev and I talk about this, when your friend can see it, like you cannot not see it, you know? Like
when you start doing like the apologizing for the person, like he's just really tired. He was actually working this morning and like
I wasn't even apologizing, but I was just like, this dude always fucking talks. He never shuts up. I don't know what's going on. And he's just like, oh God, this is what he did. He started doing this notes app. Oh my God, this was such a psycho. But he opened a notes app and he was like, jokingly taking notes like, Janelle was mean to me at 10:35. This is during and it like showed it to me after, like, you were mean to me when your friend was there or some shit. And I was like, if you don't get, I'm gonna be really fucking mean to you if you don't get that shit out of my face. But it was just weirdo. He was such a weirdo. Don't ever date Aquariuses, you guys. PSA. But anyway,
I don't think just
just the weirdest motherfuckers on earth. They really inhabit their horoscopes or whatever. Like, I never believed that, like, horoscopes and all that stuff before this person.
I'm writing this down.
I'm like, you're so weird, I'm about to read about you. How about that? I need tips or whatever. Like, I need to know why the fuck you so weird. So
it's like astrology memes on Instagram. Now I like look at them just for specific people. I'm like, can't wait what does they say about Leos.
I know. I always dated Capricorns. I don't really know what that means, but
Devin, what are some red flags that you've had on dates?
I mean, it's funny because like in the past, whenever I've heard people talk about red flags, like, this is weird, but I remember I was like reading Whitney Cummings' book for some reason, and she was like, these are the things that are deal breakers for me. And I was like, okay, my boyfriend has every single one of these things. Like, I've always been like, when people talk about red flags, I'm like, I don't know. That's pretty much everyone I've ever dated. But when I was dating in New York, there was like these two guys right in a row. One, I guess he had an apartment, but he always was carrying like an overnight bag. And he would be like, oh, I'm staying at my friend's house tonight. I'm actually house sitting tonight. And, you know,
homosexual.
He was like, I do have a place, but it's actually like really far away. And it's like, it's really small, so I just like don't go there that much. And I was like, okay, so I don't think you have a home, which is fine, but like just
classic New York ploy.
And he was, but the thing was, like, he had like really nice clothes and a podcast, but didn't have a home.
Well, Devin, we all know
what doesn't mean. Which, I mean, no judgment there, but
a traveling podcast.
He was like all about his podcast, and he mansplained podcasting to me. Like at one point, I was like, oh, I've always kind of wanted to do that. And he was like, okay, so like, here's what you do. You are funny. And like, I think your laugh could actually work on a podcast. But and I was like, you're fucking 40 and I don't know where your home is.
Wait, he was 40?
Yeah, he was 40.
Ew.
I know. And then, so then the next guy I dated was like,
why? You shouldn't even have a backpack anymore unless you're a college professor. Like,
it's like a rolly backpack.
He's going to move up to like an attaché or something. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that means he's never had any serious relationships because a real girlfriend would have bought him, would have upgraded his bag situation already.
He hadn't had a serious relationship since college, he said. And he was like,
weirdo.
Another one.
Again, why? That's a red flag. Why didn't I listen to that? I don't know, but whatever.
Because
but,
women are programmed to think that we want, need a man around. We're just all giving them all chances for whatever reason. They're not really bringing anything to our lives. And that's why as soon as you get money in your own career, you're just like, ah, I'm taking a break. Like every time.
Exactly.
I feel like before that, you're in negotiations all the time. You're like, okay, I think I can deal with that.
And we want babies, and they give it to us, and you know.
That's why. Explain. Yeah.
You're like, who is the least reprehensible to have a kid with? That's really what.
Who has the least amount of things I have to explain to my parents?
Baby live in a book bag? I don't know. I need to.
I guess so. I mean, at the time I was like, I only have like a tiny room with like a full bed. So I was like, I don't really have room for like both of us.
He was like,
just
upgrade.
So you know. He was like that. He literally was like that. But then the next guy I dated was like starting a startup. Okay. Like he was like,
Jesus
I just quit
Christ,
my job.
You walking
I'm
all in
startup.
There, all the red
yes.
Bag.
And I was like, okay. And then he was like, so I don't really have a place right now. Like I'm staying at this like family home in upstate New York. And I was like, why the fuck is this keep happening to me? Like I can't deal
and
with
here's
this.
The thing that I think that women do that men don't do. You're homeless. You're in between things. Not to shame homeless people there. Things happen. But you take yourself off the dating market. They're still out here.
Yes, have the respect.
You know, I'm like, you know what? I need to get my shit together. I'm not really going to be on Hinge or whatever the fuck right now. Like, let me get, they are out here just straight up like, I'm a catch. Like, I don't get it. The confidence is crazy.
The second one ghosted me. And I was like, okay, like,
this is when you write him a short thank you letter. Don't even take that to heart. He did you a favor.
You're welcome for the hospitality. No, but it was with both of them. It wasn't that they were homeless. It was that they clearly had enough money to like be doing these stupid pastimes, like starting a protein bar startup and doing a podcast. So I was like, if you can be doing that, like, couldn't you just get a job that's normal and pay your bill? Like, I don't.
Yeah, but starting a startup is different than having a startup. You can say anything. I can be starting a startup right now. I don't know what that means. That means nothing.
Yeah, I had an idea this morning.
Yeah, fuck it. So now you're starting a startup. Exactly. He has nothing.
So that was a good time. But one of my friends was like, Devin, this is like a really bad pattern that's starting. Like you need to ask people first off, like, do you have a place where you reside at night?
And also what is going on in your life that you're attracting losers? I always feel like I attract losers when I'm doing bad, poorly in life, self-esteem, whatever, and then they just roll up like, an opening. They know. They can smell
it. Exactly. They know.
They can smell it. So, they can smell it. And that's when, as a woman, you take yourself off the market. Like, let me raise myself up so that I attract people on my level, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious, Janelle, with, like, your status as, like, a successful comedian and comedy writer and as...
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Go on.
How has that affected your dating life? Because I'm assuming that you might date people in comedy once in a while. And we talk a lot of comedians about that. Like, what is that?
Gross.
Yeah.
I've done that once and that was good enough. And I knew it going in. But sometimes you just got to do shit. You know what I mean? You knew.
Yeah,
everybody knows you don't date comedians, female and male. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, hey, I gotta do it because that's what kind of personality I am. But even before comedy and all of that, I am just a person. My problem is always men trying to compete with me,
right?
Or even though I'm not trying to compete with them, or thinking, or them thinking that they're competing with me, or what am I trying to say? Them thinking that I'm trying to compete with them, which I'm not. I'm not even thinking that. You know what I mean? But they go into this whole defensive mode. Or, I'm not somebody that does the whole female thing. You know what I mean?
I
used to. I remember when, maybe that was about five, 6 years ago where I decided I'm not doing that anymore. I really was like, I'm not giggling at men's jokes that hurt my feelings or aren't right. Wow.
Yeah.
Or I'm not fucking encouraging their bullshit anymore. And so once you cut that off, you really, the pool really lessens. But it's all good. You're not wasting your time anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really come across that where people are saying, you know, these dudes are just saying little shit to get a rise out of you. And I'm like, you're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't really, waste my time anymore. I already have kids. I've had long relationships. I'm a relationship person, even though it doesn't sound like that. When I'm doing the podcast, I'm like, God, it sounds like I fuck everyone. But I have.
I feel the same way because we have like a love podcast. I'm like, it sounds like I've had like a bunch. I'm like,
but a lot of my red flags come from the same person, I've realized. You know what I mean? Okay. I don't even talk about different people. But I have dated all types, is what I'd say. Ages, types. Like, I'm very much like, I don't date, but I just haven't dated the same type of person. I like a new experience. That's what I date for.
Right.
So right.
I think too, I always tell people, get married, have kids. Early is the best. If it works out, great. And then if it don't, now you're released from that.
Right. That tension.
So I'm out here. I don't want nothing. And men don't know how to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want nothing.
Yeah. You're not waiting for anything or any like pop question or
And that freaks them out. You know what I mean? Because they want to be needed or whatever. And
right.
Then, yeah.
But then they really don't. They only want to be needed so they can resent you for needing them. You know what I mean? It's just such a fucked up.
And they have
paradigm.
Like, they lose their power balance. So the balance of power is all off because they're used to that expectation.
It's like how guys who aren't rich are always talking about gold diggers. It's like truly rich men don't care about that.
Right.
They love it. They love showering a woman with things. You over here, $30,000 a year ass motherfucker. Ain't nobody gold digging you. Shut the fuck up. But then those are the same people that will meet someone like me who doesn't really need their $30,000 a year. And it freaks them out. Why aren't you trying to gold at me? Because you have nothing. But anyway, so that was a long convoluted.
No, it's so true. I was like nodding. Yeah.
The only thing it does is my attitude is cut out a lot of bullshit. And I love it. Like, I'm not.
Identify with you in the sense that I was just texting with a friend yesterday about how, like, I don't have time anymore to make sure a guy feels good about himself. Yep. Does that make sense? And that's a deal breaker for a lot of guys. Yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, this is a part of having a girlfriend.
That, but a lot of them, that's what they want. They want a mommy and a, oh my God, you're
a cheerleader.
And here's the thing. I am that person and I don't mind it. If you're worthy.
Yeah. And also, like, I need just like my, and I've had problems with my self-esteem when I was younger where I counted on a guy and what he said to me, and I needed that a lot.
Right.
I don't expect that from a guy anymore.
Oh,
and
that's
I know
a lovely place to be. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. But also, like, a guy shouldn't expect that from me. Like, I'm very much in that belief. Yeah. Like, I can't make you feel good about yourself because you can't make, like, that's just not where it comes from.
And they would never admit that that's what they want.
Right.
Because it's so fucked up because a lot of our ingrained behavior is just society and shit. And it just hasn't caught up with how things are. But I mean, for instance, what's happening now with the pandemic where a lot of people have lost their jobs and then you dig a little deeper and you find out it's all women.
Yeah. You know what I mean? All
so
women.
We're being tossed back and that enables men to continue to act like they are because now we need them again. You know what I mean? And so my whole life's purpose is never to need a motherfucker ever again.
Yeah.
And I feel like that gets you to true intimacy where you're both there because you want to be.
Yes.
Yeah. I
yes.
mean, capitalism is built
Not
on
good
oppressing
for
women. Yeah, yes, and it's like that's what's been happening for generations. And I have seen a trajectory in a relationship when I was really young where I started out in the relationship. I was a PA, like production assistant. I didn't have I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I was very just young and figuring things out. And then as I started to be like, I think I want to be a writer, like I think I'm getting into this. I like got promoted at work. I started like getting more confident. Slowly this person was less and less like attracted
interested
to me
in you.
And more bothered by me and suddenly was like needing things from me all the time and I wasn't smiling enough and I didn't like come home excited enough to see him. And I was like, well, I'm tired now because I work really hard and I don't have time to like come home and prepare like whatever the fuck you need.
How about you give me a chef or a blue apron? How about
exactly.
that? And we both eat. How about we solve this very solvable problem right now without you being a fucking whiny baby?
Yes.
But, I always say the more successful I get in comedy, the less male comedians talk to me. And it's been lovely.
That's so true.
No one has quote unquote advice and their little digs, their little like, oh, you they're really looking for women now. That's probably why you're getting stuff and all of that shit. The more I rise, the less that shit happens. And it's been amazing. I love it.
Oh, so that
eat my dust, motherfuckers. Anyway, sorry. Exactly.
No, that is so enraging. I hate that. That has like people say that.
Eat my motherfucking dust.
It's your time. Oh my God. It's your time because people are really looking for female writers and what.
And like, I get it twofold because it's like, oh, people are looking for women and they're looking for black women. Two black women got a show on two networks. It's a deluge. You're everywhere. You know,
it's a deluge. Meanwhile,
everywhere I turn is black people.
Have you seen that there's also like six new shows about a white stand-up comic?
Of course they have. Because it's not them personally.
To him? Yeah.
Until it's them personally, it's we're being handed things. So.
Oh, God.
Fuck them all.
So enraging. Yeah.
What do you guys think are red flags that you present to people?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
I am moody as fuck. Like, I am moody. I need my alone time. And people can read that as I don't like them. You know what I mean? And so, and back to the top. I'm moody. I am very much hot and cold sometimes where I'm just, like, all over you. And then the next minute, I'm like, please disappear. You know what I mean?
There's nothing I want more than to see no faces right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, don't ask me how I am, which is an awful thing to say to somebody that cares about you. You know what I mean? Like, don't even ask me. Just go. Let me be in my mood, and then I'll come chat with you. But right now, while I'm in my mood, I don't want to talk about it. You know? Yeah. So that can be hard because men are fixers. They're like, what's wrong with you? Let me fix it. And sometimes you don't want to be fixed. So that's, I'm definitely a red flag in that way.
I feel like I do this thing that I hate when other guys do. Like, I hate when a guy, like, likes when I'm jealous at all. Like, I can tell that he, like, likes me feeling possessive and jealous, mainly because I do get jealous really easily. So I hate that. And I don't, like, when I was younger and, like, drunk all the time, like, I loved, like, flirting with people in front of partners because I love, like, I got high off of it. And I definitely don't do that anymore. And I think that's, like, really rude. But when I can tell a guy gets jealous, like, I still can't help it. I still like that.
I'm a human being.
A little flirty competition. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a big. What sign are you, Carol?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, okay. I'm a Libra, and I'm told that we're flirty.
Yes, I don't think I've ever flirted.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever flirted in front of a partner, but let me loose by myself. I'm out here. You know what I mean? And that's definitely one of the things I miss most about the outside is flirting. Being at a bar, and I do like old school flirting. Like, I am at the bar, shoulder work, giggle work. Like, I love all of that shit, which is always a surprise to people who know that I'm kind of like, I have very male energy in other ways. You know what I mean? And then I turn into this like Betty Boop type person when I'm flirting.
I love that.
But I love it. I love flirting. That keeps your fucking engine running and your pussy wet, you know?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I didn't know if this is a G-rated podcast. My bad.
We're going to I'm just kidding.
No, it's true. Like, I was listening to your episode of your podcast about Unfaithful because I just rewatched that movie. Just for some excitement in the pandemic. I've been watching
a lot. I should be getting some like endorsements from these goddamn movie places now, because everyone says they're watching these movies because of the podcast now. I'm like, I need to figure out how to get some money off of this. But anyway,
I know. I was thinking too when I was listening to your podcast, like, that is the best type of movie to watch in the pandemic, because they're all just like sex and action and like crazy emotions, and I'm like in my Snuggie on the couch watching it, like, with food on my stomach. But Yeah, like she, you were saying on the podcast, like if you're married for a long time, like it's totally fine to like go out and flirt with someone and then come home to your husband. But yeah. Obviously in the movie, she took it to like an too far. Insane degree. Exactly.
Well, no, I don't think I said it was okay to flirt with other people. I said, I think the guest, Sydney, were saying in their mind, she was having fantasies in her mind. And the guest was saying, I don't like my partner to have fantasies. And my whole thing was, not whether it's correct or not, but you can't control somebody's thoughts.
Right.
You can't be like, don't ever think about it. It's just not. And then, and then the person will lie to you and say, of course I don't. But you can't really. That seems like a stupid thing to get mad about, is really what I was saying. Especially if you've been married for 50 freaking years or whatever. Like,
right. Because like, Richard Gere was like weirded out by it. And like.
Yeah. Kind of. Like he not on the porno sites at night. When she tucked what's I'm gonna call it in bed. Like, get out of here. Stop lying.
I know. But it is so funny. You guys were saying about like the end of the movie when Richard Gere is like, I feel kind of guilty. Like they've driven away from, they're like trying to escape what happened, which is like he killed her lover. And he's like, I'm feeling kind of guilty. And Diane Lane is like, it's fine. Like, we'll just like take it. We'll just do it one day at a time. And it's like, okay.
It's totally okay.
It's not totally a big deal.
You caused this. You ruined our lives, Diane Lane.
It's a
Lane.
Total wasp move. Like, they wasp very, like, brush it away.
It's fine.
It's
I
a
can
thing that
people.
Happened.
Yeah.
You already forgive me. Like, what does it matter? I don't know if I told you, but he was a foreigner.
Yeah.
You killed a foreigner, okay? So it doesn't really matter.
He
no one's looking for him.
He was probably an immigrant. He was probably
exactly.
undocumented.
Exactly. I don't know. He. I don't know if you noticed, but he was swarthy.
Yeah.
That wasn't a tan, you know?
She's like, that's Frank, I had my fun, and now let's go to the house in the Hamptons, and
okay,
it's fine.
Let's go up to the beach house, do a summer. That's exactly the vibe. I don't know if
they're
that's how they say it, but
they're still to this day they're doing a summer somewhere.
Exactly. They're sitting on two rockers on the coast, Cape Cod, holding hands
with a shawl,
blankets on their laps. You
yes,
know?
They're
like,
fine.
Remember that? So remember that? And then
we still have the snow globe, and it's still got the blood on it. Okay.
Janelle, you give such great advice on your podcast, and we were wondering if you would offer some advice to our listeners who have written in.
Sure.
Okay. We have two listeners writing in about being friends with a past or potential romantic partner. One writes, I've been crushing on this guy for about 4 years. I've always been the chaser. We've been talking as friends over these years. He replies to my thirst traps, but about mundane topics just to create a conversation. Recently, I unfollowed him and removed him from my followers. Almost instantly, he requested to follow me again and tries to keep our friendship, quote unquote, up. Guys, I need your advice. What do you think? What should I do?
I mean, have you had a conversation with this person?
That's
or you
what
just
I was saying.
Traps,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Right. And he's like, "Whoa, we're friends. What's going on?" He might be trying to respect you. If you haven't had a conversation, he might be trying to be just respectful of you and your friendship. If you're sending a thirst trap, and then he's like, "I don't know what's happening. Let me just, hey, what's that painting behind me or whatever?"
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to be really direct sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that blows up a friendship.
Not sometimes with men, all the time. You got to tell them straight up. Like, no, with men, you always have to be. And then you have to decide whether the friendship is worth it, or, you know, to make it weird. It's going to be weird. What if he don't want you? That's fine.
Right.
Whatever. Male friends aren't that great anyway. What are you losing, really?
Exactly. Yeah.
What
are
you? You know, we romanticize male friendships, but you don't really go to them with the real problems. You know what I mean?
That's so true.
And the alternative is now you're in this weird limbo where you're just like so horny around his friend all the time. Then just tell him. And then if he doesn't want it, cut him off.
It's not worth it. Yeah. But I've had two friendships with men that turned into like dating. And both times one time the guy was like, well, our friendship, like I wanted to respect our friendship. I was like, the friendship isn't that like good to me. Like, I don't really care about the friendship that much. I'll be fine without it. Like, I don't text you when I have a problem at night.
Right.
So it's totally fine, actually. But yeah, I agree that men don't get it at all. Men are stum. And you have to be like, I like you. Do you want to meet up tonight?
Now, I will say I've been friends with a guy for 10 years and we had pre-pandemic conversation about like being together. And I was very much like, no, I want to stay friends. And so, and we're still friends. So it worked that way because he is a good friend though. It's like, he's such an anomaly. I'm like, dude, you're my male friend that I haven't slept with. That is actually my friend. Like, I don't want to fuck it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not, we're not going to sleep together and everything still be the same. It's going it's gonna fuck up everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know too much about me, first of all. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, this isn't like dating where you come into a stranger. You know everything about me. This isn't going to just be some casual thing. And I don't know if I want to have a serious thing, because then a serious thing, when it ends, we're not friends anymore. Right. You know? So
that's very
anyway, the advice is just that. Talk to him. I don't think she has. She's trying to do the thirst trap capture, and that's not.
it's not fully working. Trapping.
Oh my God, what pain when you send your whole titty and they're like, hey, what's that lotion you're using? Like, they totally.
I sent a nude once and the guy just emphasized it. Like,
wow.
And I was like, wait, what does this mean?
I would mail a bag of shit to his house. Are you serious?
Janelle, thank you so much for your advice for our listeners and for me and for Carolina, because I got so much out of talking to you today.
I always say I give really good advice that I don't listen to myself. So don't
expect
me.
I know. It's so hard to like apply it in your own
life. We can all advise each other, but.
I know. I always like repeat stuff my therapist says to friends. And then I'm like, not that I've ever tried it, but I'm sure it works. No, but it was such a pleasure to have you. And do you want to plug anything? Your podcast?
Yeah, mostly my podcast, which is You in Danger Girl, G-U-R-L. You can hear it on all the places that you can hear podcasts. We just got named top comedy podcast for 2020 on Spotify, which is amazing because we just started in October of last year. So it's a lot of work. And as you guys know, to do a podcast, and I'm happy. And so the only thing that keeps me going is people listening to it. So yeah, check it out.
It's so good, guys. You have to listen. I love it. And it has gotten me to rewatch movies like Unfaithful and Fear.
You inside anyway. Come on now.
Yeah, come on. Janelle, thank you so much. And we'll be right back with more True Romance.
Thank you. I want true romance.
Welcome back to True Romance. That was Janelle James.
Icon.
Truly an icon of comedy.
While listening to her, I just thought, how cool would it be to be this relaxed and this funny? Like, she was just kicked back being literally one of the funniest people ever. And I was like,
I know, just spewing.
This is just your state of being.
Being as funny as Janelle James must be like, you just, it's like one of those things where if you're meant to be like an Olympic gymnast, then people can tell when you're like 5 years old. Like, I wonder if at 5 years old, everyone was like, you're the funniest person I've ever met. And here she is.
We're truly lucky she graced the True Romance pod. On the subject of red flags.
Yeah.
What was the red flag? What was your red flag when you met me?
Interesting that you went with singular instead of plural.
You get one.
There wasn't really a red flag right away, let's say. At first, I thought you were really nice, really cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty quickly, this is actually really funny because I feel like it's nothing like you now that I know you, but pretty quickly, you were like talking about this book about like veganism and how like it was like Food Inc. or something in this book. And you were like, everyone has to read this and like it's so good. And then like the following week, you were eating bacon. And I was like, so I don't know about like the wherewithal here, but
this is so crazy that you remember this. The book is called Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer. I was like one of the like million like hipster girls who read it being like, oh my God, this is really bad, guys.
Oh,
and
God.
Then posted on my Facebook that I was going to be vegan. And then a week late, and my friend Emma Brennan, friend of the pod, was like, you are so fucking black and white. Like, here it goes again. Like, all or nothing. I could have just been like, oh, I'm going to be more mindful about what I eat. Instead, I was like, anyone who eats anything having to do with animals is a bad person. I'm a good person. And then a week later, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to block that book out of my head so I can go on as a normal.
Well, it was at a time in our lives where we mostly hung out in diners in New York City. So I honestly was like, good luck to you asking these Greek men who run this diner for the past like 50 years in New York for a side of like vegan butter or something.
It was also really funny because one of the first times I hung out with our friend Holly, friend of the pod, all she remembers is that I ordered a huge plate of sausage, like casually.
So yeah, that was...
That's a red flag.
Yeah. That was a red flag. And also, Jonathan Safran Foer went on to have a bizarre emotional affair with Natalie Portman.
So weird. We should read those emails on an episode. I will say that for my red flag for Devin, and it really comes from my own probably internalized sexism, was that Devin truly dressed when I met her like a motivational dancer at a bar mitzvah, but like in mid like show. Like she was like, I had just come from a bar mitzvah. And that's what, when I say that, I mean, like, I went to a lot of bar mitzvahs as kids, and there were always these dancers who are like there to sort of pump up the party. And the girls were always like beautiful, and they were dressed like spandex pants, like bellies always showing. Like, do you still have a belly button piercing?
I never had one.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't make sense that I didn't.
It doesn't make sense that you didn't, but you were like belly out always. Like tits out always. And to the extent that when I met Devin, I thought like, we won't be friends. Like we're not similar enough to be friends, but like I know someone who will be friends with her. And I introduced her to this like crazy,
oh, yeah, that girl.
Rich girl. I was like, here's who your friend should be. And it was like a girl who had like fake eyelashes, like spray tan, like lived in like this really fancy apartment building and had like a huge, like what looked like a wig, but was probably just like a bunch of extensions, and was just like, hi, nice to meet you, to Devin.
I know.
Was just like, I can't, that's the best description I can give.
I was like so attracted to her as a person. And I this is something I really struggle with. Like, I think Erica Jane is like truly the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And like on this season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, a lot of people are saying it's like the worst style of the housewives, and I'm like,
oh, but it's
almost every outfit I would be signing up for almost immediately. So yeah, that's tough. I feel like things have toned down. That was when I was...
Things have toned down so much, Devin. I was trying to explain to my mom why I was so shocked that you had never seen Erin Brockovich, and I was telling her that you had the dress that Julia Roberts wears in Pretty Woman when she's...
I did, yeah. I had something like that.
It wasn't like... It wasn't a costume, and it was never worn ironically. Like, you wore that, like, as a going out outfit.
I know. I used to shop at this place, like, Mystique Boutique on Canal Street, that now I'm like... I guess I just, like, didn't take bed bugs into consideration that is, like, where I frequented. And when I was, like, 20 years old... I also frequently would buy like backless dresses, and I would like turn them around and wear them forward so that they would be like low cut down to my belly button. That was like a style tip I had. And so when I was like 20, I started like, I had like an internship. Like I entered the professional world. I was fired from being a waitress, but I entered the professional world of internships, and I had to like buy all new clothes, and I had to sell all my clothes. I was like, I guess I'll just get rid of it all. It's all like rave outfits and Mystique Boutique like knockoffs of like Kardashian outfits from like the early season. So I had to sell it all. And when I took it to Beacon's Closet, they were like, you really think like the hipster fucking clientele here is gonna wear a backless chiffon teal dress has a bodytone skirt and rhinestone buttons? And I was like, if they're smart.
They were like, did you just get out of rehab?
So yeah.
You're like, Richard Gere came to town and I'm going shopping.
It was not great. I also routinely wore a white sequins blazer. And I specifically remember once, like, my white sequins blazer, like, probably burned, like, it to ashes because it was so cheap. It just fell apart one day. And I specifically remember thinking, oh, I guess I have to get another white sequins blazer. As if that's like a staple. I was like, oh, my one is done. I guess I'll get the next one that I'll wear for the rest of my life since this is such a normal thing to wear.
classic.
Anyway.
Devin.
Love you, Carol. Thanks for looking past my red flags.
Thank you for looking past mine. We'll see you next time on True Romance.
Bye. All I